As a church, we say one of our values is that we want to be culturally relevant. What on earth does that mean? I don't know if you realize, but this value is like falling down a dark rabbit hole. Talking about culture can be dangerous, like stepping accidentally onto a landmine and then everything explodes. What does it mean to be culturally relevant? Who knows? A quick look around to show you there are lots of different ways to be the church. And we label some churches traditional and others contemporary. Are the contemporary ones the right ones? Down the rabbit hole you go. A quick look will show you that there are lots of things Christians disagree on, particularly when it comes to talking about the moral and ethical issues in our culture. From abortion and same-sex marriage to refugees and climate change. What's right? What's wrong? How should we respond? Oops, there you go, stepping on a landmine and watching everything explode. A quick look will show you that Christians interact with our culture in many different ways. Should we celebrate Halloween? What about yoga or Tai Chi? Can we practice them? We want to be relevant. We want to be countercultural. Which one is it? Does anyone else ever feel confused or maybe even frustrated as you talk about this stuff with one another? It often feels like we are missing each other, passing over one another. Well, the good news, kind of, is that this is nothing new. From the very beginning, Jesus' disciples have been trying to work out how to live in the culture they find themselves in. And from the very beginning, there have been dark rabbit holes the church has fallen into. And at times, explosions. So today, I want to introduce you to a theologian some of you might know and others might not, Richard Neubrah. Who's familiar with him? Maybe a few? Okay. Let me give you a little bit of background. He was born in 1892 in the US, one of four children, and he grew up in the church. He started training to be a pastor when he was only 15 years old. And it wasn't long before he was not only preaching, but he was out in his community trying to do good. He started lecturing at a theological college. He got involved advocating for poorly paid auto workers in Detroit. He briefly tried to enter politics as a socialist running for the New York Senate before turning away from that political stance. Richard wrote on a lot of different topics, particularly around ethics. But one of the books he is most famous for is Christ and Culture. Like many of us, he was feeling confused and frustrated. And after falling down a few rabbit holes, he wanted to try and articulate the different ways Christians have responded over the centuries over this question of culture. So he proposed this framework. It's not a perfect framework, but it's a good place to begin because it helps us recognize the different approaches Christians have taken and where we might fit. He begins with Christ against culture. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns and calls for our allegiance, right? We are called to be God's children, part of God's kingdom, and that means we are to reject what is evil. We are to turn from sin. Like John writes in 1 John 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in him." Many would say our culture is on the whole against Christ, in some cases extremely hostile to the gospel. So Christians must separate ourselves out from such a culture. Christians must resist the culture around them by removing themselves and then challenging all that is evil and corrupt and wrong. You might remember when we looked at prayer. I don't know if you noticed this a few weeks ago, and I talked about two people in the Middle Ages who could teach us something about prayer. Do you remember that both Teresa of Avila and Brother Lawrence, they both chose to withdraw from the world and join a monastic order? They thought that their culture wasn't taking Jesus seriously. And if you wanted to, the thing you needed to do was withdraw away from society so you could focus exclusively on God. This is a really common response Christians have to culture. Some of the Anabaptist movements that developed, like the Mennonites, fall into this category. Originally, they refused to participate in politics. They refused to serve in the military or the police. And instead, they withdrew and created an alternative community based on Jesus' principles. Today, and it can fall politically on the left and right, on the spectrum, there are all different types of churches that kind of align with this view, who feel like they are under attack by a culture, who warn we need to be careful what we listen to or what we watch, who call on the people of the church to abide by Jesus' strong moral code, who withdraw, sometimes experimenting with church communities that live and work together. And one of the reasons why Christians might choose to send their children to Christian schools is to help their kids be immersed in a Christian worldview rather than a secular worldview that denies or ignores God. So you kind of withdraw from public schools because the hope is that in a Christian school, you're more likely to find people who share the same values and faith, who can help your kids to develop their own faith, help them to be strong and to live distinctly in this world and to resist our culture when we need to. Christ against culture is a countercultural position. It can act in a really prophetic way, reminding us of how radical Jesus and his claims are, how different they are to what our culture might say. The aim is to remain distinctive, faithful to Jesus. And sometimes it's by withdrawing and being an alternative community that you can end up influencing and helping the culture you left experience reform. That's often how the monastic orders functioned. They brought reform to their culture. People see another way and it gives them pause. But the downside, potentially, to this position is that you can forget or deny that we are all embedded in culture. It's actually really hard to escape the culture and place you come from. And if you fail to recognize that you've been shaped by the place and time you find yourself in, it means you can have blind spots. There's also a danger that when you look at the world in such a black and white way, thinking Christ is against it all, you can start to think that there is no sin in you. We are the good guys and the others out there are evil. That thinking does not lead to good things. It makes it hard to love someone who is not a follower of Jesus. You can start to wish for their destruction rather than their salvation. It can also feel like God is only where you are. You bring the light and everywhere else is darkness. You can become defensive and potentially sometimes so cut off from the world that you don't have anything to offer. There are rabbit holes galore. We say as a church you want to be culturally relevant. Those who hear this position, Christ against culture, you might find yourself identifying with some of what I said, because there is truth there, isn't there? So hear from the wider church and from our scriptures, I'm reminded that Christ does stand against what is wrong. And so sometimes we need to as well. This links into what we'll talk about next week when thinking about justice. Sometimes we need to advocate and call out injustice, and we do so in the name of Jesus. There are times when we might need to stand apart from the majority, when we might live Christ's way even though it seems foolish to everyone else. Christ against culture is one position we can take. On the opposite side of this discussion is Christ of culture. This position says, the Lord Jesus Christ reigns and is found in every culture. Jesus is the fulfiller of a culture's deepest hopes and longings. Christ is directing the way our culture progresses. Jesus doesn't just want us to escape this world, but he is concerned about this world, and so we need to look for connections, ways to harmonize Christ with the culture around us. Jesus himself looked for connections. He sat down and had a conversation with a Samaritan woman by the well, drawing on where they were, the well, to have a theological conversation with her. He cared about her spiritual and emotional needs. Jesus constantly healed people, reminding us that Jesus cares about our bodies, what's going on right now. Richard Newborough says, he was relevant to his time. He affirmed the laws of his society. He sought and sent out his disciples to seek out the lost sheep of his own house of Israel. Some early Christian writers and thinkers looked to Greek philosophy and combined that with Christ in order to communicate Christ better to their culture. They talked about Christ in a way that made sense to those around them. They saw elements of the gospel in other philosophies and they drew these things together. A And over time, the way church gathered began to change as it was influenced by Roman practice, became more Roman. In the end, Christianity came to so influence Western European culture that we had a whole civilization called Christendom. When Christians dominate their culture, they don't tend to feel any tension or conflict with it. We are a Christian nation, a Christian culture, they say. And we've seen that response, haven't we, over the centuries. Today, many look and celebrate the way Western civilization has been influenced by Christian teachings. And still, churches look and borrow and adapt from the culture around them, whether that's music or drawing on entertainment practices. Churches this year especially have been suddenly learning how to engage with people online. We want to take what's in our culture and give it a Christian spin. We want to look for connection so we can attract people to Christ. But there are some landmines you can step on. It's possible that Jesus as Lord can get lost. We become so much like our culture, get so much swept up in our culture, that we have nothing distinctive left. We say as a church we want to be culturally relevant, and maybe that's because of where we find ourselves. Niebuhr says often those who embrace this position are trying to reach the elite and rich in their society, which is potentially dangerous as well, but that's kind of where we're living in. We're living in a wealthy area. As you hear this position, Christ of culture, you might find yourself identifying with some of what I've said, because there's truth here, isn't there? I'm reminded that Christ can be found in all cultures, that there is good already present, and we can use things in our culture to draw people into spiritual conversations. I'm constantly looking in books and movies and podcasts and the world around me, searching for Christ in these things. I often find myself saying, God's grace is everywhere. We're not bringing God to people. God is already here. There are times when we should affirm what is good and true and beautiful in our culture and give thanks to God. Christ against culture, Christ of culture. I find myself, as I often do, sitting in the middle, wanting to draw from both of these positions. I don't know if anyone else feels the same, but the next two positions I'll skip over quickly, because basically they're doing what I've been doing. They're trying to hold the tension that Christ can be both against and for culture. So firstly, there's Christ above culture. Christ above culture says the Lord Jesus Christ reigns, and we don't have to choose between Christ and culture. God can draw out the best from any culture. There is good, and there are things that need to be challenged in our culture. So Christ comes to both complement and correct our culture. And then slightly different is Christ in paradox with culture. Christ in paradox with culture says the Lord Jesus Christ reigns, but it's not always easy to see. It can sometimes feel like we are living in a paradox. There is grace, but also sin, mercy, and also judgment. Christians are called to be in this world and not of this world. And even in our very selves, there's both sin and grace. Now, a lot of Lutheran churches and theology kind of take this position. Christians live in this tension between waiting for the kingdom of God to come and the actual reality of our lives now. We are forgiven, but we still struggle with sin, even in the church. It's like we're trying to serve and work in two kingdoms. Perhaps one way to hold this tension is the last position Niebuhr outlines, Christ transforming culture. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns, and the Holy Spirit is at work in our culture. As disciples of Jesus, we partner with the Spirit, joining in God's mission to see the whole world redeemed. We work with the Spirit, seeking shalom. Christ transforms. Paul says in Romans 12 verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For Paul, yes, there are things we need to resist. There are patterns in our culture we need to stop conforming to. But we don't do this alone. God's Spirit renews us. God's Spirit changes us. God's Spirit transforms us. And then we are able to discern what is good in our culture and what needs to be resisted and what needs to be transformed. This happens as individuals are transformed, or Niebuhr uses the word converted, but also as churches and societies are transformed. Christians need to be in their culture and society seeking to influence every sector. And so some Christians might actually choose to send their children to a non-Christian school exactly for this reason, to be an influence there, to help in transforming that culture. What answer is correct? Can we have clarity instead of confusion? Stop falling down dark rabbit holes? Well, Huber says that there is no single Christian answer when it comes to how we interact with culture, but only a series of typical answers. And I agree. I actually think this is the work of the local church. We need to figure out what it means for us, and it's messy. We have to figure out how best to be the church in this time and how to respond to the moral issues of our day. God draws us into a community where we can listen to different perspectives and experiences. Some of us will come from different cultures. Some of us will ask questions and challenge the status quo. Others of us will see God at work in the culture around us. We need each other. We need to listen to each other and pray and discern and ask God to lead the way. Ask Christ to renew our minds and work out how to respond. Because sometimes we need to resist, sometimes we might need to withdraw, and sometimes we need to embrace, and sometimes we need to transform. And in this church, as individuals, we'll be drawn to different positions. Some of us might more easily fit into the Christ against culture. Some of us might more easily fit into Christ in culture or Christ transforming culture. Hopefully we can be okay, that there'll be different responses in our community, and that all of these are trying to honor Christ. And hopefully by presenting these different approaches, it might help us to better understand a little bit more where others come from. And maybe we can avoid an explosion. Hopefully we can celebrate that there are different ways of being church in our suburbs, and it's okay. A concrete habit to help us discern, though, I think, is to become aware of this place, this time, this culture we're in. Because sometimes we're not aware, it's just the air that we breathe. So we need to be intentional about understanding our culture. And to help us this morning, and I encourage you to do this in your own places as well, but to help us this morning, we're going to go on a prayer walk. We're going to break up into small groups and just wander down the street. And as we do, ask these questions. What might Christ challenge us as we walk and look around? Where might Christ be found? And how might Christ be at work transforming or calling us to transform? What would Christ resist? What would he embrace? What would he transform? Ask those questions, have a discussion and pray. Pray and ask Christ these questions. May God be with you as you go out.